Good morning. In today's Daf and Rosh Hashanah's test, we are in Ches Amud Beis. We are towards the bottom. We're going to be starting with the words Tanya Idach. It's about five lines from the bottom. The Amud, the last word in the line, is Tanya. Gemara picking up a discussion from what we had yesterday, where we're discussing Yovel. Why are we discussing Yovel? Because the Mishnah says that when we get to Tishrei, the first day of Tishrei, so it's Rosh Hashanah for a number of things. So it's Rosh Hashanah L'shanim, and it's also Rosh Hashanah L'yovlos. So it's also Rosh Hashanah for a number of other things as well. But right now we're just focusing on Yovel. Yovel is going to be our discussion for today. And for the majority of today's daf, we're going to be focusing on the mitzvah of Yovel. Okay, at the end of the daf, we're going to be discussing a little bit about Arla, just a little bit. And then tomorrow's the fun. Tomorrow we talk about Trumas and Maisos. But meanwhile, today, so we get to discuss and point to the mitzvah of Yovel. There's a chumash in the back over there. If you could just pass it forward. I know I wanted one other safer. Okay, thank you. Okay, so as far as the mitzvah of Yovel is concerned, so the Torah is very clear in terms of what exactly is happening in Yovel and when Yovel is. Despite that, there's going to be a number of basic issues which are subject to a debate, which we're going to be covering over the course of today's daf. But the one thing that we could say definitively is our Mishnah takes a very strong position in terms of when Yovel actually begins. Yovel begins, says our Mishnah, on the first day of Tishrei. Now, is that the simple pshat in the Torah? And the answer is no. It's not the simple pshat in the Torah. In fact, as we go through the... We're just going to start off this morning quickly with the Pesukim. Quickly. So the Torah describes the following. I'm going to skip over the Shemitah Pesukim. In other words, I'm in the beginning Parshas Bahar. Sorry, this is just everyone can find me. This is Sefer V'Yikra, Perichafei, beginning of Parshas Bahar. So first the Torah describes Shemitah. And then the Torah says, this is now, I'm already at Pasuk Ches, V'safartu lecha sheva shabbaso shanim, sheva shanim sheva pa'amim. So you're going to count seven, you're going to do that seven times. V'ayu lecha yimei sheva shabbaso shanim, teisha varbim shana. And then as if we couldn't multiply, so then the Torah says it's 49 years. Then, v'avartu shofar trua b'chodesh hashvi'i. And now when you get to the seventh month, so we now know what the seventh month is, we just went through that in yesterday's daf. So when you get to the seventh month, we call that Tishrei. Be'esor lachodesh. And then specifically in the tenth day of the month, be'yom ha-kippurim, what we call Yom Kippur. So tavir shofar b'chol ha'artzachem. So you're going to blow shofar. And then v'kidah shemesh nasa chamishim shana. And then what you're going to do is sanctify the 50th year. U'krasem dror ba'aretz. And you're going to declare freedom. L'chol yoshvea, for everyone living there. So yovel hi ti alachem. So it is yovel. When everyone returns back to their ancestral property. Yovel hi, the Torah continues, it's Yovel. Shnasa chamishim shanati alachem, lo sizra'u, v'lo sikzru, estifichav, v'lo sifzru es nizira'am. And there's not going to be any kind of working of the land. Yovel hi, kodesh hi alachem, it's Yovel. It's going to have a status of Kedusha. Menasadeh, tochlu es tivuasa. And the Torah repeats, everyone's going to go back to their ancestral property. Okay. We'll pause over here in the Pesukim. The Torah goes a little bit further in terms of Yovel, description of Yovel. But anyway, in terms of when it starts, the Torah seems to indicate pretty clearly that when does it start? It starts on the 10th day of the 50th year, not the first day of the 50th year. So what we learned yesterday in yesterday's daf is that's the machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Shmuel. So Rabbi Shmuel is of the position that it starts on day one. The Chachamim say that it starts on day 10. Okay. Now, according to Rabbi Shmuel, this is where we ended off yesterday. So being that it starts on day one, so what's happening between day one and day 10? Because the Torah's directions are really clear. We're blowing shofar in day 10. So what happens between day one and day 10? So anyone who is an Eved, and by the way, when we say Avadim over here and the emancipation of the Avadim, just to be clear, we're not talking about an Eved Kanani. By an Eved Kanani, there is no emancipation. Eved Kanani is going to be an Eved La'olam. Ba'avado La'olam. No, I'm sorry. I said that's the wrong pasuk. An Eved Kanani is just simply, as far as halacha is concerned, it's chattel. There's no emancipation. We're talking about an Eved Ivri. Doesn't Eved Ivri go free after 6 years? The answer is yes. However, there's also an opt-in. If the Eved Ivri is very happy where his position is in life, and he likes where he's at, so the halach is that he can basically opt in and say that I want to be an Eved La'olam. So we know, Rashi and Chumash says, at the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim, so you're going to go through a procedure where you pierce his ear, and it becomes an eved and in perpetuity, but perpetuity does not mean forever. Perpetuity means up until Yovel. That's it. And then in Yovel, he goes free. And when does he go free? Okay, good. So, according to Rabbi Shmuel, day one of the 50th year, and according to the Chachamim on day 10 of the 50th year. So, truth of the matter is, I spent some time thinking about this, so how many of Adam are actually going free in the Yovel year? It's not going to, you have to know the societal norms at the time, which I don't, but you're talking not only about an Eved Ivri, but an Eved Ivri that's also opting in. How many of those are out there? Anyway, but that's what we're talking about in terms of emancipation. Good. In other words, right? If somebody becomes an Eved Ivri, right? The doctor's right. If someone becomes an Eved Ivri, right, within 6 years of the Yovel, so he also goes free as well, right?
Yeah,
but
is he forced to go out?
Yeah, that's it. He's done. In other words, he opted in.
There's no choice.
I'm saying. Right, I understand what you're saying. It sounds like simple pshat would be is that that's it. That's it. Enjoy your freedom. Okay. I know he didn't want it, but enjoy it. Okay. So good. So we saw yesterday machlokes between Rabbi Shmuel and the Chachamim in terms of when the Yovel actually begins. Does it actually begin on day one? Which is, by the way, that's our Mishnah's position, which is the Shita Rabbi Shmuel. And yes, as we pointed out yesterday, it is interesting that our Mishnah is siding with a Das Yachid, a Shitas Yachid. Okay, but that's what our Mishnah is doing. And meanwhile, according to the Shita of the Chachamim, no, Yovel simply does not begin until day 10. Meaning once we blow Shofar on day 10, which is the Torah's, as per the Torah's instructions, then and only then does Yovel begin. Good. So that is a quick summary, a quick synopsis of what we did yesterday, including just a quick look at the Pesukim in the Torah. And now Tanya Yidach. The Gemara now starts with another Braisa. And we're on the same subject. We're discussing Yovel. So through the lens of an additional Braisa. Yovel, he, fourth line down from the bottom on Chesamad base. Yovel, he, matam alamer lefisha nemer v'kidash shemesh nasa chamishim. So the Torah says that you're sanctifying the 50th year. Yachol, kishem shemiskadeshes v'olachas mitchilasa, kach mitkadesh v'olachas b'sofa. So I might have thought, look, we're adding a little bit in the front end. We should add a little bit on the back end as well. We're adding a little bit on the front end. What does that mean? Because Yovel doesn't actually begin until day number 10. And meanwhile, once you hit the 50th year, meaning on day one, so already where there's a little bit of Hosafa. So if there's Hosafa on the front end, there should be Hosafa on the back end as well. The Altit Mash Are Mosiva Mechol HaKodesh. And what, that shouldn't bother you. Meaning the idea that there's Hosafa that we augment and we add to Chol. We add from Chol onto Kodesh. So the Gemara says that's something that we do all the time. So Tamalamer Yovel Hi Shnasachamishim Atamekadesh Viatamekadesh Shnasachamishim Va'achas. So the Gemara to that the Braisa says no, meaning despite the fact that there is a little Hosaf on the front end, there's no Hosaf on the back end. Meaning when you get to the end of the Yovel year, when you get to the end of the 50th year, we're done. We're not going to be adding an additional 10 days, even though. We add an additional 10 days on the front end. We're not adding an additional 10 days on the back end as well. On the 29th day. Yeah, let's say on the 29th day of Elul at the end of the 50th year. That's the last day of Yovel, period. V'Rabbanan. Now that works out according to Rabbi Shmuel, meaning that whole Braisa was according to Rabbi Shmuel. Why? Because according to Rabbi Shmuel, there's Hosafa, meaning for Rabbi Shmuel, Yovel actually begins on the first day of Tishrei. So and even though we're not blowing shofar until the 10th day, but that's Hosafa min haTorah. So that explains what the Havamina would have been, but all that works only according to the Shita Rabbi Shmuel. But according to the Chachamim, so the Chachamim do not have this Hosafa on the front end. So Shnasa Chemishim Atamon, Nevi Atamon, Shnasa Chemishim Va'achas. So the, according to the Chachamim, what did they do with that pasuk? And what is the need of the drasha? The need of the drasha is to tell me that I count Yovel as the 50th year, and that's it. I only count as the 50th year. Well, what's the other option? The other option is to count as the 50th year and as year number one. So a machlokas that comes up a number of times throughout Shas. The Gemara of Avodah Zarah discusses in more detail. Our Gemara over here is just making allusion to it, and that is a machlokas in terms of how to count the year after Yovel, meaning Yovel's the 50th year. Well, let's go back even one step earlier. You count seven Shemitah cycles. Good, like we saw together in the Pesukim. And now that's 49 years. Then the year after that is Yovel. Okay, that's easy. So far in our first counting, so we're going to be counting 49 years, then we're going to be counting a 50th year. Good. We're going to be doing that again. In other words, and the cycle just keeps repeating. When do I start the new cycle? Okay, so I'll give you two options. One option is that the 51st year, that's going to be year one of the next Shemitah cycle. That's one option. But there is another option. And the other option is that we'll double dip. The 50th year, which is Yovel, will also count as the first year of the next Shemitah cycle. Good. Now, obviously, that means that for every Shemitah cycle, we're going to be having a one-year discrepancy between those two positions. Meaning, if I'm counting 50 and then the year after that, so that means Yovel now is coming in cycles of 50. It's going to be 50 and 50 and 50. And now the math is a little bit easier because then we're just dealing in nice whole numbers. Two Yovel cycles is 100 years and et cetera, et cetera. That's one option. The other option is that, no, we're going to double dip. Now, if we're going to double dip, what does that mean? It means that it comes in cycles of 49. Meaning, of course, there's a Yovel year, but the Yovel year also counts as year one of the next Shemitah cycle, which now means that it's going to be 49 and 49, 49, et cetera, et cetera. Good. It's a machlokas tanaim in terms of what the proper ways to do it. And the Gemara says that according to the Chachamim, would they have this drasha available? So for them, it comes to tell me that the drasha is coming to tell me that I counted only as Shnas Chamishim and not also as the first year. Lafukim midi Rav Yehuda, Damar Shnas Chamishim, Ola Lekan, Ola Kan. And that is Keneged Shitas Rav Yehuda. Because Shitas Rav Yehuda is that we double dip. So Kamash Malan Delo, and the Chachamim are there to tell me, that's what the Pasuk's coming to tell me. That there's only one minyan for the 50th year, and that's Yovel. And you don't also count it as the first year of the next Shemitah cycle. Good, Adkan, that gets us through another Brisa. And again, the whole point of quoting these Brisas is just simply to highlight, to show that there is a machlokas between the Tanaim in terms of when Yovel start. Does Yovel start on day one of the Yovel year, or does it start on day 10? Again, it's a machlokas. Again, we have Brises just simply highlighting this machlokas. Now, the Brisa, the last Brisa we just said pretty casually, not casually, but as like a Dover Pashut, that we're going to be Mosif. In other words, you have Kodesh, but what you have to do is you have to add to the Kodesh. You augment. So, and you annex Kodesh both on the front end, on the back end as well. It happens to be that by Yovel, you don't have this halacha. We have a drasha that you don't have this halacha, but generally the default is that you're Mosif. So the Gemara says, where does that come from? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you where it comes from. So Detanya will enter another Brisa. We're on Testament Aleph. We're five lines from the top. Bachodesh uva katzir tishbos. So the Torah says that becharish uva katzir tishbos. So you're not going to plow and you're not going to harvest. Now this is talking about what? Unclear. So when I say unclear, why is it unclear? So this is Perek Lamed Aleph, Parshas Kisisa. If I can find it fast, great. Otherwise, sorry. Okay, I can't find it fast. Okay. Say what pasuk? Here it is. Sheishes yamim. Sorry. Perik lamedal pasuk chaval. Sheishes yamim tavod v'yamashvi tishbos becharish uva katsir tishbos. Okay. So it sounds from the pesukim that's talking about Shabbos. Shabbos meaning the seventh day of the week, right? Sheishes yamim. So for 6 days you're going to be working, and on the seventh day tishbos, and then becharish uva katsir tishbos. Now, what it sounds like, simple reading of the pesukim, is that it means that you're not going to be plowing, you're not going to be harvesting on Shabbos. But as it will become evident in our Gemara, so not all Tanaim agree with that pshat. Some Tanaim are of the position that that's talking about Shemitah. So Rabbi Kiva Omer, Eino Tzarech, Lomer Charish V'Katzir Shal Shvius, Sherei Kvar Namar Sadechal Lo Sizra, V'Chulei. So Rabbi Kiva immediately assumes that it's not talking about Shabbos, but rather it's talking about Shemitah. And as far as Shemitah is concerned, so we already have Pesukim that clearly state that one is not allowed to plow and harvest during the Shemitah year. So according to Rabbi Kiva, so what's derived over here? Tosaf, Hosafa. That means to say that not only one is not allowed to harvest during the Shemitah year, and one is not allowed to plow during the Shemitah year, but even before and even afterwards, you have to augment, you have to add. Rabbi Shmuel Omer Mecharish Rishos Af Katsir Rishos Yatzah Katsir Omer Shei Mitzvah. And Rabbi Shmuel says no, a different drush, a different derivation from the pasuk, and that is that when the Torah prohibits Charish, so that's Rishos, that's the things which are voluntary and optional. So same thing with Katsir as well. So Yatzah Katsir Omer Shei Mitzvah. However, when it comes to Katsir Omer, which is a mitzvah, and as Rashi explains over here, and as we did in the seventh parak of Menachos. So even though you have harvested grain, there is a mitzvah that you must harvest grain for the Karban Omer. So that is what's called a mitzvah. And even though, and when do we harvest? So we harvest on the night before, right? On Motzei Yontif, the night before, so we're going to be harvesting. Now, even if, let's say, for example, that were coming on Shabbos, meaning the second day of Pesach comes out on Shabbos. Now, again, in our calendars, that's not going to happen, right? Rosh Chodesh Nisan is not coming out on a Friday. Pesach is not starting, the first day of Pesach is not coming out on a Friday, but, if it did, in other words, before the calendars were fixed, so if it did, so nevertheless, we're still going to be doing the Katsira. Why? Because that's Katsira's mitzvah. That's not Katsira's rishus, and therefore it's going to be allowed. Anyway, what comes out from over here is that we have a machlokas between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel, but at least according to the Shita of Rabbi Kiva, so we have this halacha of Hosafa, that we're being Mosif, Mechol al HaKodesh. Okay, good. Now, Rabbi Shmuel, Mosif Mechol al HaKodesh Minale. So the Gemara says, okay, now what about Shitas Rabbi Shmuel? Meaning, according to Rabbi Shmuel, so he opted to use the drasha for a different point altogether, notably the Katsir Rishus versus the Katsir Mitzvah. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, what does he learn out Hosafa from? So Nafkalem Editanya. So the Gemara says he has a source for Hosafa. It's a different source. The pasuk says, V'inisim es nafsho sechem betisha. So what you're going to do is that you're going to start afflicting yourself on the ninth day of Tishrei. Now, Yachol betisha tamalomer be'erev. Now, I might thought that, okay, good, so I should start fasting on the ninth day. Meaning not just the tenth day, which we call Yom Kippur, but on the ninth day I should also be fasting as well. But that can't be, because the Torah says be'erev. So, I be'erev yachol mishetach shach, so then good. So, be'erev means that, okay, when it gets to nightfall, so then I'll start fasting. So, tamalomer betisha, but the Torah says betisha. So, good, we're ping-ponging between the fact that the Torah says Ba'erev and the Torah says Betisha. So, Haket said, Maschel Mesanami Ba'o Yom, Melamish Mosifim Michol HaKodesh. And so, what it comes to teach us is Hosafa, that what we need to do is, we need to start fasting already, a little bit before Yom Kippur actually begins. Ein li ala bechnisa so b'yitzias aminalan, good. So we know that we're going to be annexing a little bit of before Yom Kippur, and we should be fasting a little bit before Yom Kippur. That's good. How about after Yom Kippur? So Tam Alomra, Me'erev Ad Erev, Ein Li Ali Yom Kippur, Shabbosos Minayin. So good. So now I know that there's a mitzvah of Hosafa as it relates to Yom Kippur. What about Shabbos as well? Tam Alomra, Tish Pesu, Yomim Tovim Minayin, and let's continue. We're going to say this for Yantiv as well. So Tam Alomra, Shabbos Chem. So Haketza, Komakim Sheesh Bo Shavos, Mosifim Michol Al Kodesh. So anytime that you have this idea that there is stop, meaning cessation, meaning that there's an Isser Malacha, so what we need to do is, and Kedusha, so what we need to do is we need to add to that both on the front end and on the back end as well. In other words, there's a mitzvah of Hosafa. Good. So this Braisa comes to tell me about Tosefes Yom Kippur, Tosefes Shabbos, Tosefes Yontif. Okay, just some simple observations. They're not all the same, right? The Tosefes Yom Kippur is really more of a focus of the Inui, meaning that we have to afflict ourselves in Yom Kippur, and that needs to be extended in both directions, both on the front end and the back end as well. It's not exactly the same as Shabbos, meaning Shabbos, so the Hosafa is not going on the Inui, the Hosafa is going on the Kedusha, all right, of basically, right, you're extending Shabbos in both directions. Not just the God, in other words, it's different than Yom Kippur, which is really more of a focus on the Inui. Okay. Fine, not exactly running parallel with one another, but nevertheless, that's the idea. We saw just not long ago in Masechta Beitza, the Gemara quoted this as well. Back in Beitza, we've been quoting this Gemara a number of times since we started the new cycle of the Shas. So back in Beitza, so the Gemara says, nowadays people are eating right up until let's call it licht. Whatever, it's not really licht. It's whatever. People eating right up until Yom Kippur. That's the Gemara in Beitza. and nobody's protesting and nobody's saying anything. So the Gemara over there says, Mutav Shiyushogim Vayub Mizidim. Yeah, better if you educate and you inform them, they're going to do it anyway. Better they should be in a state of shogig, right? And Tosas over there said, right? I'm just chazering what we saw pretty recently. And Tosas over there says that this idea that you have to be mosif, there is a shear. There has to be a shear. It's funny. Tosas over there said, I remember making the comment when we did the Tosas back then. Tosas says, I don't know what the shear is, but there has to be a shear. Why? Because how can you educate and there not be a shear? Meaning there's got to be a shear. Although Tosas does not say exactly what the shear is. Other Rishonim give suggestions in terms of what the shear is. Anyway, but good. So there needs to be a Hosafa on the Inu of Yom Kippur, the Tosefes Shabbos and Tosefes Yom Kippur as well. Okay. And then, well beyond the scope of Daf Yomi, and then a major discussion in terms of when you're being Mosif. What status does that Hosafa have? Meaning is that a full annexation? Are we really now giving that the full status of Shabbos, the full status of Yom Kippur? Where exactly do we stand on this in this augmented period of Shabbos and Yontif and Yom Kippur? Good, that's a major discussion, well beyond the purview of our daf. Okay, let's go on.
Shabbos and Yom Kippur learn from, is it Zera Shava from Yom Kippur, or it's a definition of what?
It sounds like it's a drasha. Right. In other words, the Shabbat Chem, even though in the context it's talking about Yom Kippur, but the Gemara is borrowing that word in order to extend it to Shabbos. Actually, Shabbat Chem is used for Yontif. Right. Tish B'Tu is used for Shabbos. Okay. We're just it's drashas. Okay. I'll make one other big point, and then we'll go on, and that is that the Rambam. So we've covered this ground before. So the Rambam has Tosefes Yom Kippur. The Rambam does not mention a word about Tosefes Shabbos, right? Throughout the Rambam and Hilchos Shabbos, so there's not a word, not a sentence, not a paragraph, nothing towards Tosefes Shabbos. The Rambam only talks about Tosefes Yom Kippur. Okay, how did he do that? How did he get there? Okay, good. Another big discussion, but just one other idea to go walk away with from today's daf. Anyway. V'Rebbe Akiva, hi v'nisim nafshosechem b'tishah my avid lei. So now there's a lot of moving parts over here. So hopefully we can just keep following everyone's position. Meaning the Gemara's question was, how does Rabbi Shmuel know about being mosif chalal kodesh? So the Gemara says he learned that from this drasha. Rabbi Akiva already had a drasha for being mosif chalal kodesh. So good. So now what is Rabbi Akiva going to do with the previous drasha? Meaning he doesn't need it for a hosafa. So what does he do with it? So the Gemara says he has it for another halacha. So Rabbi Akiva, hi v'nisa masnaf shosechem b'tisha my avilei. So mi bai lelecha didni chaya bar rav midifti. Didni, so the Gemara says he has another drasha for it. Notably, didni, we learned in a brisa, chaya bar rav midifti, v'nisa masnaf shosechem b'tisha. So you're going to be afflicting yourself on the ninth day. V'chi b'tisha metanin v'alo basir metanin. Now, this brisa starts off the same way that we start off previously. We're not fasting on the ninth day, we're fasting on the tenth day. Tenth day is Yom Kippur, ninth day is the day before Yom Kippur. So what's the Torah describing when it says that you're fasting on the ninth day? So if you eat on the ninth day, so the Torah now credits you as if you fasted on the ninth day and on the tenth day. Okay, so there's a mitzvah in a Torah to go ahead and eat on the ninth day, right? The only time, well, it's, to call it a formal mitzvah essay, it's one of the 613. I'm not sure if we would go that far, but it's the mitzvah in the Torah to go ahead and to eat on the ninth on the ninth day. Okay, Rashi, we saw this back in Yuma. We saw this at the end of Yuma. So Rashi over there writes that the reason why you do this, Hachana, prepares you for the fast. Meaning that obviously if you're going to go 24, 25 hours without eating, so, you know, it's good to load up beforehand. It's a Hachana. Ah, but what the Torah does is that the Torah frames it now as a mitzvah. So it's not just pragmatic, it's also you're fulfilling a mitzvah and doing so as well. That's Rashi. Okay, there are other ways to say it as well in terms of what the goal is in terms of eating on Erev Yom Kippur. But right now, for our purposes, that's fine. Rashi over here, I'll just comment because Rashi does say in Ardaf. So Rashi over here writes that what is the eating on Erev Yom Kippur? Rashi says that's a mitzvah of Inui. Okay, in other words, Inui takes on different definitions as you talk about different days. On Yom Kippur itself, Inui is not eating. On Erev Tisha B'Av, so Inui is actually just the opposite. Inui is eating, right? Rashi writes that. So the Rashi, last Rashi on the Amud, I'm reading. The Hachi Kamar Kravi, Inisa Betisha, Achila Tisha, Anikore, Inui. So when you eat on the ninth day, that falls on now under the category of Inui. The Kevin de Achila, so Inui Chashiva, called the Mafish, Bachil Vashia, Tvei Adif. Ah. And so therefore, the more you eat, the more Inui you get. Inui in now the halachic category of you're doing a mitzvah by eating on the ninth day. Okay, it's so funny. By fasting, there's only one gear. Right? By fasting, it's only just simply don't eat. Okay. But the Inui version of the ninth day, so in other words, the more the better. In other words, for every eating that you do, so for the ninth day that falls under this category of Inui for Erev Yom Kippur, good, more mitzvah. Okay. Adkan takes us to the end of the first, not only the first part of today's daf, but really the first topic of today's daf, meaning that really what we've been covering is the machlokas between Rabbi Yishmael and the Chachamim, vis-a-vis when does Yovel start? Does it start on the first day of Tishrei or on the 10th day of Tishrei? And from there, basically, the Gemara took us on a number of diversions, but really all stemming from the first point, meaning this machlokas between the two of them. So now it comes out that we're not going to be Mosif, meaning according to Rabbi Yishmael, we're not going to be Mosif on the back end, even though we were Mosif on the front end, because according to Rabbi Yishmael, we started the Kedusha Yova on day one, not on day 10. So, and even though, right, and the comment that was that we started off this morning, even though normally we are going to be Mosif, okay, and with that comment in our pocket, so then the Gemara just wanted to know, where do we normally know that we're going to be Mosif? And for the entirety of Amud Aleph, so we just cited the various Tanaim in terms of where we derive this halacha, that normally we're going to be Mosif. Good. That's all Amud Aleph. Now we go to Amud Beis. Amud Beis of today's daf, Tana Rabbanan. So as we're on the topic of Yovel, so for the rest of today's daf, we're going to be speaking, not the rest, but most of the rest of today's daf, we're going to be speaking a little bit more about the halachas of Yovel. So first of all, what are the consequences of Yovel? So I have the psukim in front of me, and I still do. And the consequences of Yovel actually are very clear. So number one is that in the Yovel year, So it's going to have Kedusha. It's the 50th year. And Tashuvu Ish Alachuzaso. So first of all ancestral properties go back to its original owner, right? That's Hashava. And then additionally, V'chisimkru Mimkar Lamitecha Kano Miyad Amitecha Altonu Ish Esachib Mispar Shanim. I'm sorry, let's just keep going. V'asisa Mischu Kosai. No, that's it. So number one is Hashava. Number two, is that there's not going to be any working during the land during the Yovel year. So the land is going to be laid fallow. Now the land was laid fallow the year prior, meaning during the Shemitah year, okay, and during the Yovel year as well. Oh, so that's two consecutive years in which we're not working the land. So the Torah says, don't worry, right? I'm fast-forwarding ahead a little bit in the psukim. V'tzivisis perchasil lachem b'shana hashishis v'asas ha-tvua l'shlosh shanim. Okay, good. So I know that now in the sixth year, coming up on a Shemitah Yovel, right, in back-to-back Shemitah Yovel, so there's going to be enough produced for, so to last you for 3 years. 3 years because even as you get into the third year, meaning now in the post-Yovel year, so you still need to plant and whatever you're gonna need for 3 years. Okay, and va'aretz lo simakel es misos ki li aretz. Okay, fine. All right, good. Okay. All right, so the number of things occur in Yovel. The Gemara starts off with the following. Tana Rabbanan. We are on Testament base, Yovel hi. So the Torah's description of Yovel is that it is Yovel. Rashi over here, Rashi really helps us in terms of understanding what's about to happen in the Gemara. Let's take a look at Rashi together. Rashi writes, Yovel hiti alachem le'el minei. It's the top Rashi in the Amud. K'siv ha'avarta shofar v'kidash shemesh nasa chemishim shana v'karasam jor. Okay, now, prior to the pasuk of the Torah saying Yovel hi, so the Torah describes how you're going to be blowing shofar. Good. And now Rashi points out, v'hadr k'siv yovel hiti alachem v'kra yisei rehi l'drasha. So, and now when the Torah says Yovel hiti alachem, that's additional, and therefore eligible for a drasha. So it is going to be Yovel, nevertheless. Meaning, its status of being Yovel is not going to be affected by the fact that we weren't super compliant to Yovel. Ve'afilu lo nasa bo dvarim halalu. And even if we don't do the Yovel activities, what are the Yovel activities? Rashi says, Havar shofar, number one, blowing shofar. Number two, lashuv el achuza, dahinu shmitas karkos. So making sure that we let the lands lay fallow. Shekanu zemizeh, dechsiv basar haikra, ushaftim isha lachuza so. Afal pikein shim hayovel alav, lios aser bizria, uvitzira ukitzira, kidechsiv lo sizra. So even if we don't conform to the Yovel, and we're not compliant to the Yovel requirements of blowing shofar and having land returned back to its ancestral owner, it's still going to have the status of Yovel. Therefore, one is not allowed to work the land, even if we're not compliant to the halachas of Yovel. Okay, and so what we're going to be discussing right now are what are critical aspects. So Yovel he back to the Gemara, afa pishlo shamtu. So, even if we didn't leave the lands go back to its original owner, even if we didn't blow shofar, what if we didn't let our Eved Ivri go free? So, according to Rabbi Yehuda, what is critical in terms of the definition of Yovel is letting the Eved Ivri go free. Rabbi Yossi Amar Yovel hi afal pishlo shamtu afal pishlo shachu. Even if I wasn't shomed, even if I didn't let the Eved Ivri go free, Yachol Afa Pishlo Taku. What if we didn't do Tkia? So Tamalamri he. Tkia becomes essential. So what we have over here is really an unusual machlokas between the Tanayim in terms of what are ma'akev regarding Yovel. Okay. So Vichim Yachar Shemekor Echad Marbe Mikor Echad Mamit Mimne Mani Omer Yovel he Afa Pishlo Shachu Ve'en Yovel Elaim Kain Taku. So now, question. So now we know we have a ribu, we have a miut. Meaning, there are some things about Yovel which are ma'akev, certain things about Yovel which are not ma'akev. The Gemara says, well, how do I know? So point number one, it's possible that you're going to get to Yovel and not a single Eved Ivri is going to go free. Because Eved Ivri obviously is circumstantial. Meaning, if there's an Eved Ivri, so then you're going to let it go free. But if there's no Eved Ivri, can happen. So then, So it's easier to suggest that the emancipation of the Eved Ivri is not ma'akev because you could have a circumstance in which you just simply don't have an Eved Ivri. On the other hand, when it comes to shofar, meaning of course you're going to have a shofar, of course you're going to blow shofar, meaning that's something that by definition will happen. Davar acher, zu mesur lebeisin, v'zu ena mesur lebeisin. And then another point, an additional point is that when it comes to the release of the Avadim, so that obviously is a mitzvah for all of us, meaning whoever has an Eved Ivri La'olam, so we're going to free him, and we're supposed to free him. But that is out of the control of Beis Din. That's for us to do. Mashen came when it comes to Tkiah Shofar, so that's going to be on the Beis Din. Okay, so another basic difference, and that's why Shofar is Ma'akev, according to Rabbi Yossi, but the Shiluch Avadim is not going to be Ma'akev. So my Davar Acher, okay, good. Adkan Divrei HaBraisa, that's the end of the Braisa. The Gemara just simply wants to know at that end of the Braisa, so we gave two Svaras. Why for Rav Yossi, the blowing of the shofar becomes ma'akev? V'chitem yafshad alek echad besof alam delam v'shaleach zu mesur labeisin v'zu en mesur labeisin. Because even if you want to argue, you just want to be a little bit difficult and argue, nah, there's got to be some Eved Ivri that goes free. It's got to happen. So Kamash Malan, okay, even if you want to argue that the blowing of the shofar is contingent on Beisdin. Bishlama Rav Yossi k'deka amar taima. Okay, good. After having gone through the Braisa, now knowing, so what is Ma'akev by Yovel? So we know it's a Machlokas in the Braisa between Rav Yehuda and Rav Yossi. But what the Braisa did is it explained Shitas Rav Yossi. What the Braisa did not do is it didn't explain Shitas Rav Yehuda. So the Gemara now wants to know, okay, can we pick it up from there? Meaning, can we give a svar for Rav Yehuda? Ella Rav Yehuda, my time, I'm a crow, across from Jorah Ba'aretz. So the Torah says that you're going to be declaring freedom throughout the land. V'kasav v'mikra nidrash lefanav v'lo lifnei panav. Okay, and then it's just a question of what immediately comes beforehand. What does immediately come beforehand? So Tkiah Shofar is not immediately beforehand, having property go back to its original owner. So that is immediately beforehand. Okay, so dekuli amadur lashon cheres. Okay, fine. So the Gemara says is that ultimately ends up becoming the hesber of the machlokas of the hesber of the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Fine. Dekuli amah dror lashon chayrus. Now the idea that dror means freedom. So the Gemara says my mashma. How do I know that? The Tanya will learn in the Brisa in dror el lashon chayrus. So fine. So the Brisa says that dror means chayrus. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Ma lashon dror. So let's actually do a definition of the word dror. Kimidayer be dayare. So the way Rashi explains it, we're basically talking about somebody who's got ability to sleep and live in any hotel that he wants, and he basically is a salesman. A salesman with the ability to stay at whatever hotel he wants. Okay? He's a real club member. Okay. And as a result of that, so basically he's got freedom. Freedom to travel, freedom to go wherever he wants. Good. So that's it. And the word dror is from the word midayer, meaning he basically can live wherever he wants. Okay. I'm Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. One more point to make on this particular halacha, meaning we were discussing, it's really an interesting discussion in terms of what is ma'akev, meaning what are the basic requirements in order for Yovel to have the status of Yovel? Okay. And is it just the sending away of the slaves? Is it the blowing of the shofar? So the Gemara now quotes B'Shem Rav Yochanan, Zudiv Rabbi Yehuda V'Ri Rabbi Yossi. So what do we see so far in Amud Beis today? We saw the Shita Rabbi Yehuda, we saw the Shita Rabbi Yossi. Ava Chachamim Omrim Shloshta Ma'akvos Bo. And according to the Chachamim, you need all three. Kasavri Migra Nidra Shlifanav Lifne Panav Ula Acharav. And that means to say that the returning of the land back to its ancestral owner, and the release of an Eved Ivri, and the blowing of the shofar, all three of them are necessary. Now, v'haksiv yovel. So the Gemara says, okay, but what are we going to do with the ribui? Meaning the ribui tells us that it's going to be yovel mikom akom. So the Gemara says, no. How would dafilu b'chutz aretz? No, that comes to tell me an interesting halacha. Notably, that yovel applies outside of Eretz Yisrael. Okay? And ask your man on the street, is yovel apply outside of Eretz Yisrael? So most will tell you, no. Okay? We're learning together today's daf that according to the sheet of the Chachamim, I'll quote the Rambam in just a moment, the correct answer is yes. Yovel applies in outside of Eretz Yisrael. V'aksiv ba'aretz, yeah, but doesn't the Torah say that Yovel applies in Eretz Yisrael? So how b'zman she'enog dror ba'aretz, noog b'chutz aretz, b'zman she'enog noog ba'aretz, eino noog b'chutz aretz, to which the Gemara says, okay. In other words, the hanhaga of Yovel outside of Eretz Yisrael is contingent on the hanhaga of Yovel in Eretz Yisrael. So when it applies in Eretz Yisrael, it applies outside of Eretz Yisrael. When it doesn't apply in Eretz Yisrael, it does not apply outside of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so the Amud Beis today, in terms of a quick summation, so there are three shitas in terms of what exactly is going to be ma'akev as it relates to Yovel, meaning what will give Yovel its status of Yovel. Without the daf today, in other words, one could have easily just simply argued, what do you mean? It's Yovel, meaning the Torah says that the 50th year is Yovel. And meanwhile, for it to have its Kedushas Yovel, so it needs aspects. What aspects does it need? Three-way machlokas in today's daf between Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, and the Chachamim. In the brisa that we saw on the top of the Amud Beis, so shitas Rabbi Yehuda, so is that you need shiluach. In other words, you need to send away the Eved Ivri. Then and only then does it have the status of Yovel. According to shitas Rabbi Yossi, you need tkia shofar. Then and only then it's going to have the status of Yovel. And according to the shita of the Chachamim, you need three things. Blowing the shofar, sending away the Eved Ivri, and the returning of the lands back to its ancestral owner. Then and only then is it going to have the status of Yovel. Okay? That is, and we'll stop over here tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll start with Arla. Okay? And more of the agricultural halachas that come up tomorrow. So so a couple of things over here, just to quickly walk away with some conclusions regarding Yovel, because there were a lot of opinions that we cited in today's daf. So, just a quick reading of a couple of halachas in the Rambam. I'm in the Rambam, the halachas of Shemitah and Yovel, and we are in the 10th parak. And we're starting over here in halacha Zion, the Rambam's position. Now, again, as we saw in our Gemara, a number of things which are open to machlokas, even amongst the Rishonim, a number of things that are open to machlokas. But right now, just for today, just for the daf, just present the sheet of the Rambam. So, Shnas Yovel, Eino Ole Miminyan Shnei HaShavua. Yovel does not count as one of the Shemitah years, writes the Rambam. Ela Shnas Teshav Arabim Shemitah, Vishnas Chamishim Yovel, Vishnas Achas Vechamishim, Tchila Sheishanim Shol Shavua. Good. So on a machlokas that we saw earlier in today's daf, in terms of when to start counting your next Shemitah cycle, so the Rambam cites the Shita that we saw earlier, it's the Shita of the Chachamim, not the Shita of Rav Yehuda, that there is no double dipping, meaning that that Yovel year does not count both as a Yovel year and the first year of the next cycle, but rather it's just a Yovel year. Then only the next year counts as year number one of the next Shemitah cycle. So according to the Rambam, it basically operates in sets of 50. And that's number one. Number two, this is now Halacha Ches. Mishigala Shevet Reuven v'Shevet Gad v'Chasi Shevet Menashe Batlu HaYovlovs. When do we stop observing Yovel? So the Rambam says, really, a long time ago. I know that's not actually what he said, but it comes out to be a long time ago. Shenemer krasim dror ba'aretz l'chol yoshveha b'zman shechol yoshveha aleha. So what do you need? You need the Jewish people to be occupying Eretz Yisrael. Then and only then is Yovel going to be Noah. V'hu shelo yumar urvavim shevet b'shevet. Elakulim yoshvim kitiknan. And not only that, but places everybody. In other words, everybody's got to be situated in the right location. So it's not enough just to have all the Shvatim being in Eretz Yisrael, but all the Shvatim being in the correct location in Eretz Yisrael, then and only then is Yovel going to be Noeg. Bizman shel Yovel Noeg Beretz Noeg b'chutz la'aretz. The Rambam continues, and oh, by the way, when Yovel is Noeg in Eretz Yisrael, it's also Noeg in chutz la'aretz as well, right? We just saw that in the daf today. You only, in Eretz Yisrael, you just need representation. Meaning I need members of Reuven to be living in Shevet Reuven. Not all of Reuven, but representation. Okay. So the Shenemer Yovel Hi B'chol Makom, Bein B'fnei Abayis, Bein Shelo B'fnei Abayis, and that's true, whether there is or there isn't a Beis Mikdash. Uvizman Shah Yovel Noeg Noeg Din Eved Ivri. Okay, fine. And then the Rambam goes on from there. But the Mitzvah essay, I'm just skipping a little bit. This is just, again, highlights from today's daf. Mitzvah essay, Litko B'shofar Basir L'tishre B'shnasa Yovel. A positive commandment to blow shofar. So the mitzvah zim usur lebeisin tchila shenemar varvata shofar trua. V'chol yachiv yachid chayiv letko shenemar tavir shofar. So the mitzvah is principally on beisin, but everyone blows shofar. V'token b'shofar teisha kederach shetoken b'rosh hashanah ma'avir and shofar v'chol gavul Yisrael. Okay, and in terms of how to blow shofar, it's same like Rosh Hashanah. That's how you're going to be blowing on the Yovel, on the Yom Kippur of the Yovel year. Okay, Shlosha Dvarim, I'm just skipping now to Halacha Yigimel. Shlosha Dvarim Ma'akvin B'Yovel. In order for Yovel to take effect, so three things are necessary, meaning the Rambam over here is following like the Shita of the Chachamim. Tkia, Shiluach Avadim, V'achzar Sados L'Ba'alayim. The blowing of the shofar, the returning of the Avadim, and the returning of lands back to their original owners, V'zui Hashmatas Karka. That's also known as Hashmatas Karka. Okay. They're fine. I assume so. Okay. I think so. Okay. Adkan, that just a quick summary right regarding Yovel and just some conclusions from the Rambam from the 10th parak of Hilchos Yishmitas V'Yovlos. Good. Okay. Adkan, that takes us to the end of today's daf and just a recap of the first part of today's daf. It's really a straightforward daf in terms of the two topics that are covered. One is the machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel and the Chachamim. When does Yovel start? On day one of Tishrei, on day 10 of Tishrei. Our Mishnah says day one. In accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, the Chachamim disagree. They say day 10. And then a discussion of the fallout of that machlokas, and that's the Amud Aleph of today's daf. Meaning, under normal circumstances, we're going to be Mosif Chol Al Kodesh. According to the Chachamim, we're not being Mosif Chol Al Kodesh. It's an exception. But the rule is that normally we're Mosif Chol Al Kodesh. Where do we see that? On the Amud Aleph of today's daf, in Rosh Hashanah daf Tes, on Amud Aleph, a couple of sources in which we're being Mosif Chol Al Kodesh. How do I know that that's in fact so? On the second half of today's daf, as long as we're discussing Yovel, some basic halachas on Yovel. Really, the Gemara is focused on what is ma'akev, meaning in order for that Yovel, the Yovel year, have the Kedushas Yovel, where you're not allowed to work the land. So what exactly is going to be ma'akev? So for that, the Gemara says the machlokes between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, but then as we went on the daf, we actually introduced a third opinion, and that's the Shita of the Chachamim. According to Shita's Rabbi Yehuda, it's Shiluch Avadim. According to Shita's Rabbi Yossi, it's Tkiah Shofar. And according to the Chachamim, all three aspects of Shiluch Avadim, Tkiah Shofar, and Chazaras Karka, the returning of the land back to its owner. So all three of those are going to be Ma'akev. Adkan.